Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Deborah Martinez, your host. Since the Affordable Care Act and New Mexico's health exchange enrollment phase kicked in 5 weeks ago, thousands of people have signed up nationally. And in New Mexico, almost 1,000 businesses have been able to begin the process of insuring their employees. The state's health insurance exchange sends individuals and families directly to the federal portal, which, as we know, has had some problems. My guests today have been working to overcome some of those obstacles and to make sure that the insurance companies are providing what they've promised. Rena Sapansky is the executive director of the state's medical insurance pool. And John Franchini and Aaron Ezekiel are with the office of the state superintendent of insurance. Mr. Franchini is the state superintendent of insurance, and they chose those insurance companies that are going to be offering plans, and they regulate them, including how much they can charge in premiums. And Martin Hickey is a member of the Health Insurance Exchange Board and CEO of the New Mexico Health Connections, a nonprofit offering plans on the exchange. Welcome to all of you. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Hickey, let's start with you. How is it going with the health exchange? We don't have an idea yet. The administration is not releasing how many people have signed up yet. Do you have any vague idea?
It's very hard to say. They say millions of people have tried to get into the website, but of course they've had difficulty being able to execute and get all the way through, and it's been a very frustrating process for many of them. On the other hand, I can give you just a little bit of personal insight. They are saying it is improving every day. They've identified about 400 items, have the quote-unquote punch list. They brought in experts from all over the country to take it over. And they are making progress, and we can validate that. Yesterday, we doubled the number of enrollees that we had for the entire month of October in one day. So we know it is picking up, and we know Secretary Sebelius yesterday told the Senate Finance Committee that 17,000 people an hour can now access the website. Now, I don't know if that means they can get all the way through and make a choice, but just something else I'd kind of like to point out in context is when Massachusetts, which was Romney Care, which is really the blueprint for Obamacare, on a statewide basis, they didn't get up and running until almost 2 months after their announced start date, number one. Number two, they averaged about 18 visits to a website per person who finally enrolled. And then the other thing is that even had the website been working, we likely would not have seen the enrollment, because they said that it took 18 visits to the website before an individual finally chose an insurance company. So this is something that people are going to deliberate on. So we're now realistically expecting some significant surge in December, maybe a little bit in January. But I think March is when we're going to see the biggest enrollment time. And that's, of course, the last month that people can sign up.
Okay. And then you play a dual role. You're also the CEO of New Mexico Health Connections. I think most of us have seen some of the TV ads, and we can talk about the ad campaign as well, for your nonprofit. So how is it going on your specific, plan offerings?
Sure. We started 18 months ago. There were two of us. We received a loan from the federal government. Started with connecting with the Department of Insurance and working through and getting a license, but setting up all the IT to be able to claims, enrollment, and starting a network from scratch. We have essentially 6,000 providers now throughout the state. So long story short, in 18 months, we are completely ready. So we were, of course, frustrated that the federal government wasn't as operational as they would have been, but we were completely ready for it. We're just like any other insurance company, regulated by the superintendent, as any other insurance company would be. And we feel very good about our product offerings, the pricing. We've got incredible reserves from the federal government, so that's not an issue. We're just waiting for that website to get up and running.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, fingers crossed, right? So, Mr. Franchini, you are the superintendent of insurance. You are the one who essentially chose these five companies. What were you looking for? What was the criteria in the best interests of New Mexicans?
Well, first of all, I actually didn't choose these five.
You didn't personally?
No, these five actually offered to be on the exchange.
Okay.
And I was very happy about that because before the exchange was created, only three companies actually had individual health plans, full medical health plans in the state of New Mexico. Now we have, with the exchange, five. So I'm very happy about the fact that we have more participants.
And more competition, right?
More competition and more choices. And I think that's really important because certain people have certain medical needs and they need to go to certain doctors and have certain procedures. And each of these companies, their strengths are in different areas, which is wonderful because that gives all of our citizens a real choice of a range of choices to take care of their own medical care.
And what are some of those differences as you see them?
Well, if there's five companies that are writing right now in New Mexico, and it's interesting that some of these companies were created as a traditional HMO plans, which is kind of the Loveless. That's their tradition was a traditional HMO, and then there's companies like Blue Cross and Presbyterian, who are basically a indemnity plans they started with, so they're basically fee for services in the past. And then there's Molina Healthcare, and they're basically a carrier that is going into the commercial market for the first time because they were only in Medicaid before. And so they're taking a step into the commercial market to help the rest of the populace. Mm-hmm. And then there's New Mexico Health Connections, which is a new company created specifically to function in our exchange and in our state specific. And one of the interesting things about their mantra is that they basically are driven from a wellness philosophy. And so their whole healthcare system is set up to drive people to wellness. So the less that they see the doctor, the more successful they are. So it's interesting how you have a lot of different philosophies mm-hmm. here.
And isn't that one of the cornerstones of Obamacare, the idea being it will be successful as fewer people use medical services, including the emergency room, they learn how to get healthier, and thus, you know, there's less strain on the system. And at the same time, you have taxes on some of these corporations that are going to help, finance it, if you will.
If I could just one
sure.
quick thing,
sure.
we actually, John, we don't want
Mr.
people
Hickey.
To see the doctor less. We want them to see the doctor and their team approach to care more because that will keep them in a healthier state, which will then keep them out of the hospital and the emergency room where the high expense is. So it's focused on getting people, no matter what their conditions are, to be in the highest state of health. But wellness, he's absolutely right. Wellness is the key.
Okay. And just one more question to follow up.
Well, could I answer that?
Oh, okay.
I'm just the eternal optimist, and so I feel like the healthier you can be, the less you need to use the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And we waste a lot of money on people who have very minor illnesses who run into an emergency room and spend a huge amount of everyone's resources to take care of a cold or a flu. And if they had their health care plans in place and they had good guidance and direction and assistance, they wouldn't be having to do that.
And I've heard even knowing you have a plan is less stressful in your life, thus your health improves automatically.
I would think that's true.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
So there, you've said before in the press, the prices will be among the lowest in the U.S. because of this competition for premiums. But a report from the Manhattan Institute and the Heritage Foundation, the conservative groups are begging to differ and putting out reports almost as soon as the Kaiser Foundation puts one out. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that you lost me there. Am I back?
Yes.
I think that it's important to just look at the numbers. First of all, we should not be comparing plans that were created 10 years ago that are very limited programs and insurance plans that some people can still use for another year, but you can't compare that plan with the type of plan that we've had to put in place for the Affordable Care Act. The plans we put in place for the Affordable Care Act are much more robust. They cover what's needed, the illnesses that are needed to protect the people. So they're full plans. So you cannot take a 10-year-old plan that is a very limited major medical plan and try to compare it with a plan that's today into the Affordable Care Act. That's like comparing a Yugo with probably a brand new Impala today. So you know there's a huge difference. There's 50% more benefits in our new plans. So when you can't compare them apples for apples because you're comparing them apples for watermelons, basically.
And I think some of those reports don't include the tax credits, the rebates, the whatever you want to call them, that offset that premium price. They were looking at the sticker price, correct?
Well, that's true, but the sticker price isn't that much higher than the current marketplace on a lot of plans.
Mm-hmm.
I have a breakdown here just as an example. The plans range, this is just Albuquerque metro area, an individual HMO, non-smoker, silver plan. The rates for a 21-year-old go from $142 a month up to $151 a month. That's in Bernalillo County. A 40-year-old goes from $190 up to $300. Mm-hmm. And a 60-year-old goes from $380 up to $600. But those are not unusual rates for people in those age groups today.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that there are many credits and there are many discounts available to people. And I can use an example. Some citizens call us up because there were a couple and they were very upset because it looked like their rates were going to go up double. And then they looked. Then we looked at them and we compared it for them and we went through this. Their income right now is about $50,000 a year for this couple, and they're in their 50s and 60s. But they actually were able to write their policies at $4,750 a year for both of them, with all the discounts. Now this is exactly we ran the rates with them. And they were paying before $6,500 with a $5,000 deductible. They have a $500 deductible now, and they're paying $4,700 as a couple. People need to get past what the cost is to begin with, and they need to go in and really study or get some help. They can call the companies directly and get assistance right over the phone to find out where they belong. And I advise people to please do that. And don't there's a hysteria there that we need to put the fire hose on and slow it down.
Yeah, and you know, I mean,
what's
really incredible is that those previous plans they were on, they had an annual limit. I don't know what it was specifically.
That's right.
There is no more annual limit. The sky is the limit, and they may have had, I don't know, but a lot of people who had those plans, you know, if they sprained an ankle and reported it, the insurance companies would cover everything but the ankle. Now you cover everything: diabetes, hemophilia, HIV,
mental health issues.
It's guaranteed issue, and it's the exact same price. There is no change in price based on previous medical history. That is what is so incredible. And as I say, you know, if people really go in and look and study, they're going to get their socks knocked off. I mean, it's really an incredible deal. And in New Mexico, we are one of the cheapest in the country in terms of the average premium, as I understand.
Yes.
The more, as John said earlier, the more plans you have, the studies show the lower the average price in the states that have the majority of plans. So this system of competition is working, and it is providing incredible coverage for an incredible price.
Okay. I don't want to leave Rena out.
Point,
yes.
Yeah, on
Rena Zabinski.
The people that we serve in the high-risk pool are really benefiting from all of the new opportunity, the choice, the affordability that's going to be offered through the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, as Dr. Hickey was stating, most of the people that we deal with have been rejected for pre-existing conditions, or they've been offered plans with staggering rates. And so we've been the safety net in the state for the last 25 years for those individuals. But it's amazing that they're going to now have choice. And, you know, what the superintendent was mentioning along the services that are now going to be covered, you know, one of the maybe, you know, unheralded aspects of this is the mental health services coverage. It's been virtually impossible to buy individual coverage that covered mental health. And considering the rates of substance abuse, co-occurring disorders, mental health issues that, you know, many families have been forced to leave untreated for many years because of lack of coverage, I think we're going to see a tremendous impact on services and the services that are available in this state on the mental health issues. So it's really a tremendous boon to New Mexico.
So you're optimistic. That's great. Well, we're talking about signing up for an insurance plan, whether you're a small business or an individual, now that enrollment has begun under the Affordable Care Act. Are you searching for an insurance plan? Have you already signed up? Tell us about your experience. I went on yesterday just to see if it worked, as many people do, and I had no problem downloading an application, which I could have mailed in. There was an 800 number there for me to call. I did the calculations and found that since as an employee of UNM, I have a plan that is pretty generous, and so I'm not eligible for, and my family is not eligible for, this service of the Affordable Care Act. But I got answers. It took all of 10 minutes, I think, of my time. And so I was very happy about that. And hopefully other people's experiences are getting better. But we want to hear from you, whether or not it was positive or negative. It is your turn to call at 277-5866 and join this conversation. If you're outside of Albuquerque, call 1-877-899-5866. Or you can tweet us at KUNM News. We will be right back.
I'm Larry Nichols. My wife Polly and I wake up to Morning Edition. I really enjoyed the children's hour, too, though I haven't been a kid in a while. We want KUNM to be around for the kids and the young at heart for many years to come. So we've included KUNM in our estate planning. If you feel, as we do, that KUNM is a treasure that should be around in the future, make this station a part of your legacy. Email Mary Oishi at KUNM.org or call 277-8006.
Intelligence Squared U.S., where the world's leading thinkers debate today's critical issues. Yes or no to this statement? For a better future, live in a red state.
You want your child to be able to buy a house and begin that American dream? Send them to a red state.
If you look at the top 10 states by average income, 9 are blue.
The blue states either have to change or die.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
And we're back at 8:22 on the call-in show this Thursday morning. I'm your host, Deborah Martinez, and we're here today talking about the Affordable Care Act and the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange with some key players in this game, if you will. Martin Hickey is the CEO of one of the companies that is offering plans come January 1st, and he's also a member of the Health Exchange Board. Rena Sapansky is the head of the high-risk insurance pool, which will be morphing into various services, whether it's Medicaid for folks or also folks that might qualify for the Affordable Care plan. John Franchini is the superintendent of insurance. We've been talking about this issue, and we welcome your calls. And I'd like to go right to one of them from from Karen in Albuquerque. Karen, what is your question or comment?
Hi. I had a question about providers who aren't contracted with the various insurances. I know currently we have an office where it's a dental office, but if we're not contracted with a company, the company pays non-contracted provider reimbursement rather than contracted reimbursement. And I didn't know if this plan will be paying the patient back at the contracted rate or the non-contracted rate.
You mean come January 1st?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's. Anyone want to take that? Mr. Hickey?
Sure. It sounds as if you're a small business.
Yeah.
And if you are a small business, we've got a present for you. If you go to BeWellNewMexico.com, which is the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange, which does enroll people for small businesses, what you'll be able to find is that your employees, after the owner of the business or the CEO, president of the business, picks what we call a reference plan, which basically establishes the amount of money that the employer is going to pay towards the premium for the employee. The employee, here's where the present comes in. The employee can pick among four different plans: Loveless, Presbyterian, Blue Cross, and New Mexico Health Connections. And across all of those, particularly here in Albuquerque, virtually every provider is going to be covered. And so, depending upon the plan. So they can go in and say they want to check Blue Cross, and there's a particular doctor that they want. But Blue Cross doesn't have a contract with that doctor, so they might go check with Presbyterian, and Presbyterian does. So they can pick the Presbyterian plan. So I would say that your employees ought to be able to be in a contracted situation, depending upon if they choose the plan that has the providers that they're particularly looking for. But it is employee choice of plan after the provider designates the contribution that the employer will make to the premium.
Right. I might not have made myself clear. Currently, we're a very generous office. We pay the first $500 of everybody's premiums in our office. So we're able to get, you know, excellent coverage with Presbyterian. But I have been to doctors who are not contracted at all. And when I submit a claim on my own behalf, I know Presbyterian, or I'm not sure if Presbyterian, but other insurance companies, at least with dental, they'll pay 35% rather than 50% of the allowable amount. And maybe, I'm not sure if I'm getting it all mixed up because we do dental.
So, Karen, I'm gonna cut you off. I'm sorry, but we've got other calls waiting. And for that specificity in the weeds, so to speak, Mr. Hickey will answer briefly.
Yes,
and then we'll
call the plan, and they'll tell you exactly if there's an out-of-network cost.
Okay, great. Well, I hope that's a sufficient answer for you. Brett has a question, and he's in Santa Fe. Brett, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I was telling the screener, I hope that my question isn't too much off topic, but I look upon the affordable, and by the way, thank you very much for taking my call. I look upon the Affordable Care Act as kind of a good news, bad news story for New Mexico. On the one hand, Health and Human Services says that about 360,000 New Mexicans are going to, currently uninsured New Mexicans will be eligible for coverage now either under Medicaid expansion or through these health exchanges. But we also know that New Mexico has a long-term shortage of primary care providers, with the exception, I think, of Albuquerque and Las Cruces, perhaps. Most of our state has a shortage of primary care providers. So on the front end, we'll have a lot more people insured, presumably. That's a good thing. But I'm concerned that maybe they'll have coverage but won't have access to primary care services in their communities. And so I don't know, is there a role for maybe coordination between the health exchanges and the state, the Medicaid program, to perhaps have some incentives to help pair up with, for instance, our loan repayment program that we have at the state to recruit people to some of these underserved areas? Does my question make sense?
Yes. Mr. Hickey is nodding his head. Thank you for your question.
Actually, it is Dr. Hickey. I am a primary.
Oh, it is doctor.
I am a primary. And the only reason I bring that up is I am a primary care physician, and I know what you're talking about. There's at least a shortage of 400 primary care doctors in the state. We also do have very good laws that allow a wide scope of practice for nurse practitioners and PAs. The issue is, can we get enough of them trained up? But your question is a very relevant one. I've worked all over the country, And we do not compensate as well here in New Mexico as they do in other areas. And that's one issue that has to be addressed. And without going into – this is really almost worth a whole nother separate show.
We
could go into
this.
Detail in it. But there is the opportunity to do what we call patient-centered medical home, which is coordinated by primary care physicians to assure that the care is continuous, coordinated, logical, and people are not ending up in the emergency rooms. That's worth a lot of money. And many of us on the insurer side are looking at if those people get – if primary cares get better health and save money, then they need to be rewarded. And we're working out those mechanisms, and we'll do so over the next 5 years to make New Mexico one of the most attractive places to offer care, not just in Albuquerque, but in the rural areas as well.
Okay. Rena wanted to answer as well.
Yeah, I agree with Dr. Hickey. This is worth an entire discussion on its own because it's a multifaceted issue. And so looking at increasing educational opportunities in the state for advanced medical professional careers, looking at incentives to keep those providers in state once they do finish school, looking at expanding scopes of practice. It's been a topic in the legislature for many years as well. So I agree. The increased demand is certainly going to create some new opportunities, and so we have to figure out how to fill those opportunities.
Yeah, and that is a problem nationwide. Are groups approaching the governor to ask her to place it on the call since this is a 30-day session, or is there coordination there? I know there's some talk about getting legislation on.
Yeah, and you know, the Health and Human Services Interim Committee has been looking at this issue, and I do believe there's always some legislation trying to enhance our capacity in New Mexico. So we'll see what brings what comes next session.
Right. And the federally qualified health centers, we have one of the best ratios of doctors and providers to recipients of care through federally qualified health centers in the country. They're going to be generating a lot more income now because a lot of their patients who were not previously eligible for Medicaid are, as well as the exchange, and that will enhance their ability to attract more clinicians to meet this demand.
We do have information, links of all kinds, on our website, KUNM.org, right on the front page. Go to the call-in show for today, and you'll see all kinds of links there to useful information that can help you sort through this web of information that's out here. And we all want to help everybody get a good grip of what their choices are. Let's take a call from Glenn in Santa Fe. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I wanted to reiterate what another caller said, that having insurance doesn't necessarily mean access to care. If you're poor and you don't have the cash to pay a copayment or coinsurance, you may not be able to afford a visit to the doctor. And I wanted to speak toward the...
See nodding heads in here. In the studio, so I think Dr. Hickey might want to respond to that right away.
If you earn $15,000 a year, you will qualify for almost 100% support by the federal government of your premium. And yes, while there may be copays in that category between 138% of the federal poverty level, which is $15,000, and 250% of the federal poverty level, if a silver product is purchased, the federal government will also very progressively, the lower the income, help pay for that out-of-pocket expense. So if you're at $15,000, you are essentially going to pay just a few dollars for care every month, and that includes the copay and going to the doctor's office.
Glenn, are you still there?
Okay, well, that's my concern, because I've heard that few dollars could be a $10 or $15 copayment. And if somebody's getting behavioral care, chances are they're going almost every week, and that'll add up over time. And, that's money that's not available for meals and heat and rent and other essential expenses. I just wanted to speak toward the state coverage insurance program, which was effectively Medicare for people that earned up to, I think, 200% of federal poverty, even more. So apparently they are being their insurance is being canceled. That's Medicaid insurance that pays 100% of pretty much all medical expenses, and then they're being sent into the exchanges for these programs that have co-pays, co-insurance, and other out-of-pocket expenses.
Well, as Dr. Hickey said, you may not have those expenses. And Rena Sapansky is here, who heads that insurance pool. I don't know if you just tuned in, but we've been talking about the options for people who are now in the high-risk pool.
Rena? A couple points, Glenn. I mean, I really hear what you're saying. We certainly see that co-pays can be a barrier. I know we're talking about the exchange, but I also wanted to mention Medicaid expansion, because we are increasing the opportunities available. Previously, it was very challenging to qualify for Medicaid. Now, anyone can qualify if they're up to 138% of the federal poverty. So that's someone who's under $15,800 per year, a family of one, family of four, $32,500. And with Medicaid, the copays are incredibly low. The other point I just wanted to make is this is why it's so important for people to take some time when they're selecting their plans. You really need to sit down with, we're calling it kind of the three Ps, look at your providers, your pharmaceuticals, and any upcoming procedures. So what are your medical conditions? What are your needs? If you are seeking behavioral health treatment on a weekly basis, make sure you look at that summary of benefits and look at what those copays are going to be. If you've got specialty pharmaceuticals, look at what those copays are going to be, because they vary widely between all of the plans on the exchange. And I think if you are struggling with an illness or something that's requiring treatment, you really need to look at those, look at the details to make sure that this is going to be something that's manageable. But with the cost-sharing subsidies, as Dr. Hickey was saying, actually care is going to be very affordable if you're in one of the lowest income brackets. It's going to be subsidized. It's going to be your maximum out-of-pocket is going to be very low. And after you hit that, you know, the carrier will cover 100% of your cost. So,
including copays.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And can they go online right now, like to our website where we have links to each of the five? Can they look at some of these benefits right now today?
Yes. I know that New Mexico Health Connections has an online calculator, which will help them determine what the premium would be and what their subsidies for out-of-pocket costs expenses would be. And I assume the other health plans have something very similar.
And healthcare.gov also has that calculator,
and
which you can
healthcare.gov get to. Healthcare.gov and the Kaiser Foundation.
Okay. Great. Go ahead.
I really encourage people who are struggling with illnesses to go to the individual health insurance companies' websites, because there you will find the formularies. You'll be able to look at what medications are covered and what levels. You'll be able to look at the provider networks. Call the companies if you have questions. You know, make sure you're really getting all the information you need. We've looked at all five websites. They're very easy to use. The information is clear. And it's there. And so, you know, people should give themselves a little bit of time to sort through that, especially if they're dealing with an illness.
So they can do this. Even though healthcare.gov may be having some issues right now signing up, you can always go to these plans and do your homework, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, if you haven't had insurance, this is a monumental task. But if you have had some insurance over the years, you know, it does take time. It's like anything that you do in your life that's important to you. You need to spend the time and get the information. I want to go to Glenn in Jemez Springs, who's been waiting patiently. Hi, Glenn. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you so much for having this. I want to hold up a couple of issues. One pertains to a friend. One pertains to me. I have kids 26 and 28, and I am so glad ACA, Obamacare, has come in. I think it ought to be called Obamacares, by the way. My friend was in Albuquerque. And this was several years ago, just driving down the street, and all of a sudden was the victim of a shooting, just total accident that she was hit, became a paraplegic, and currently spending about 4 months in intensive care. For the young people who say, I'm healthy, I don't have to sign up, be aware, you're gambling big time. If one of these tragic kinds of things happens, you could be facing bankruptcy, hundreds of thousands of dollars of expenses. So please just get in the pool and avoid the penalties.
Thank you.
On my situation, I had a problem with Medicare. I still haven't resolved it. I've asked our senators and U.S. rep to get involved, and that doesn't seem to be helping much. Going for a PSA a month before I should have gone, and as a 69-year-old, sometimes I don't have all of these things in my memory. And I promised Medicare I wouldn't get another PSA this entire year, and yet I'm still being zapped for that expense. So, again, young people, please sign up. This will help you and the rest of us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call, Glenn. Mr. Franchini, I know that you have to run off in just a couple minutes, and your pinch hitter is waiting patiently, Aaron Ezekiel, to answer some questions and to talk more about the Affordable Care Act and the health exchange and the insurance companies. But I wanted to know before you leave, what kinds of price controls were instituted for these companies, or is that possible?
Well, we have passed a bill 2 years ago, Senate Bill 208, which actually gives the Superintendent of Insurance regulatory authority over health care and their price increases or decreases. And that bill is very effective because what it basically does is it allows the actuaries and the examiners in our department to look at an insurance company's complete financials. And the beauty of it is that under the new law, an insurance company can only keep 20% of its expenses, of what it collects, for all of its overhead plus its profits. That's for individual plans. And for their group plans, they can only keep 15%. So that means that 80% and 85% of every dollar that you send to an insurance company, a health carrier, They're going to use 85% of it as a group plan or 80% as an individual plan to pay claims. So as long as we keep that kind of a ratio and make sure that rate increases are looked at very closely at 10% or higher, I believe that we can help control these costs and control and protect the public.
Yeah, and currently that isn't the case. Insurance companies can raise without notice rates, and they can also
actually they can't. They can.
No?
They still have that.
They have to come to.
They still have to do that. What's happened recently is some companies have canceled policies, and they've got policies in the exchange, and those policies are more expensive. As I talked before about the apples and the oranges, that's very confusing. I just would tell people, be patient and get into the exchange. You'll be able to get into it at the end of November. And look at things and go to your insurance companies because they will help you.
Okay, and as we said, those links to the insurance companies offering plans under the Affordable Care Act in New Mexico are online, and you can get to them easily from KUNM.org. We'd like you to call. We still have a few minutes left in today's show on affordable care, and it is 277-5866 here in Albuquerque, outside of town in the area. It's 877-899-5866. We'll pay for that call. Do call us. We'll be right back. And thank you, Mr. Franchini, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Wild Earth Guardian 7th Annual Tree Hugger Bash in Albuquerque comes to the Grove Cafe Thursday, November 7th. This year's event celebrates Guardian's continued work in the Gila and celebrates creating room for the Mexican wolf to roam. The event starts at 6 p.m. and includes lovely vegan food, a fun-filled silent auction, and a very special guest. For tickets and info about the Tree Hugger Bash November 7th, visit wildearthguardians.org. A message from the tax-exempt Wild Earth Guardians.
The 5th Annual Navajo Rug Auction is Saturday, November 16th at the Prairie Star Restaurant in Bernalillo. The auction starts at 1 p.m., preview at 11 a.m. A wide variety of traditional and contemporary Navajo rugs will be available for purchase. Support Navajo Weavers and the Maxwell Museum. Come to the Navajo Rug Auction Saturday, November 16th, preview at 11 a.m. For more information, visit maxwell.unm.edu. A message from the tax-exempt Maxwell Museum.
And it's 8:43. We're back with the last segment of the KUNM call-in show. I'm Deborah Martinez, your host today. And we hope that you'll give us a call in these last few minutes. We do have some calls waiting, and we're going to go to those in just a minute. I want to introduce the pinch hitter for the State Superintendent of Insurance, Aaron Ezekiel, who actually is the director of the ACA implementation in New Mexico, quite intimately familiar with all of the details of this undertaking, and we're happy that you were able to join us today. I'm going to go right to some calls, and perhaps all of you can chime in on answers for these folks. Let's take a call from in Albuquerque from Don. Good morning, Don. What is your question or comment?
My question is, for those who are under 65, is government help in paying the insurance premium based just on their income or also their saving?
Go ahead, Dr. Hickey, and or Rena. Go ahead, Rena.
Sure. It's simply based on your adjusted gross income, so your taxable income, and there is no asset testing for either Medicaid under the expansion or the exchange. So you're simply going to be the IRS records are linked when you apply, and so they're looking at what your income has been. So savings are not a part of this.
Okay, great. Thanks for that question, Don. And Kate is calling from Santa Fe with a question. Good morning, Kate. What's your question?
Good morning. This is frustrating. Let me be blunt. I think all you guys just make too much money. You don't understand the poverty issue. For the working poor, those of us who are in the $15,000 to $25,000 range, this insurance is absolutely, it guarantees zero access to medical care. The deductibles, even with the subsidies, the deductibles are way up over $6,000. That means no access to care for people like me. I had SCI insurance. New Mexico kicked tens of thousands of us off of that excellent state-sponsored insurance. That's not Medicaid expansion. That's shrinking.
Okay, thanks for that. And we have definitely some responses waiting. Who wants to go first? Dr. Hickey?
I think if you take the time to go into each health plan, since sometimes it's difficult to get through to healthcare.gov, and look at their silver plans, you will find that different companies and even within the companies have different deductibles. And so that $6,000 deductible may only apply to one or two companies' plans. I know other companies' plans have significantly lower deductibles. And on top of that, in that $15,000 to $25,000 range, the maximum out-of-pocket and maximum out-of-pocket deductible get confusing. But the key here is maximum out-of-pocket. That's all you can pay. And once you've paid that, if it's been through co-pays, but again, that a lot of that's going to be subsidized with the government picking up in that income range, picking up the significant majority of those out-of-pocket expenses. But even with some being paid, once you hit that maximum, you're done. So the best way to study it and understand it is look at each plan by each insurer. They are all different.
Okay. Mr. Ezekiel, did you want to add to that?
No, actually, Martin covered pretty much what I would have said.
Okay. Rena, you're nodding as well.
You know, I would say we deal with folks who are really incredibly low income and incredibly sick in our office every day. So I have great sympathy for an understanding of what folks struggle with. I do believe that there are some incredibly low deductible plans, incredibly low max out of pockets for those folks between 138 and 250. That when you just look at sort of the rates without plugging in your income, you won't see those discounted plans. So It really takes that extra step of actually putting in your income and getting the information about what plans are available to you, because some of the plans are only available to folks with certain income levels because of the adjustments that are made for the cost-sharing subsidy. So it's a very complicated way of saying you know, go through the process, put in your income, and you will see some of those incredibly low-cost plans. But I understand, you know, sometimes it's so difficult to spend even $10, $15 in a given week for those copays. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that choice. They have to get that medical care. And so this is a way that they are going to save a lot of money.
Right. And the out-of-pocket cost sharing is available only in the silver plan. So if you went to bronze, you aren't going to see that. But if you go to silver, you'll see substantial contribution to that, what we call cost sharing. That's another word for what you would pay in a copay, deductible, or what have you.
And if folks just tuned in or they don't know what these various metals are, can you describe the plans?
there are four levels of what we call metallic plans. Platinum is the most expensive, but it has only 10% out-of-pocket co-insurance, co-payment. The gold goes down to increases to 20, silver is 30, and bronze is 40. So bronze, if you're really healthy, no matter what your income, you're probably best off with bronze, because that's if you get into a really difficult situation. The government law now has, and this is really for any health plan, the maximum out-of-pocket for an individual is $6,350. Now, I know that sounds like a lot, and I agree with Rena. When you don't have a lot of income, that is unbelievable. But you're not going to face that with that low income in the support in the silver plan. And for a family, the maximum out-of-pocket is $12,500.
That means if you have to go to the hospital, get an operation, you won't pay more than $12,000.
Right, right. And that's on whether you're insured through a large insurer or, I mean, that's just the law. Mm-hmm. But those are the four levels. And then there is catastrophic for those 29 and under, which has a 50% out-of-pocket. But again, that maximum out of pocket is $6,350.
I do want to emphasize one thing here.
Aaron Ezekiel.
I think people need to be very careful. It's easy to look just at the upfront cost, and that might lead people to look at bronze. But I think the point that Dr. Hickey made is very important. You really have to be looking at the entire picture. The cost sharing at the silver level can be quite significant if people are at the lower income levels. And so the short term of, oh, bronze is going to cost me $10 less a month or something like that can turn out to really be unwise. We really encourage people to look pretty seriously at the silver level, because that's where the maximum in financial supports kicks in. It also, as was mentioned, has a level of cost sharing that comes back to the individual that's 10% less, that it's a 70-30 split in terms of overall medical costs up to the maximum.
Okay, good information. I want to go next to Ted in northern New Mexico. Good morning, Ted. What's your question?
Well, I have two questions. The first one is, how is the new health care plan going to affect Medicare Advantage programs?
I'm here. I'm seeing heads nodding no, meaning it won't.
It should not be confused with it. Medicare Advantage. Medicare and Medicare Advantage are treated completely separate. The Accountable Care Act, the Affordable Care Act, does close the donut hole in Medicare, Medicare D progressively over time.
I see. And I just finished reading the Lovelace health plan for 2014. And it talks about, there's a section that talks about prior authorization. Does prior authorization apply to the new health care plan? And also, in further reading about prior authorization, it says that obtaining prior authorization does not mean that the services will be covered. So you have to do an extensive amount of research. When I say extensive, it probably could run up to an hour or two on the phone in order to find out whether or not you are covered. And then this is an escape clause that can result in exclusion.
Okay. Well, let me have Rena first deal with that question.
Sure. You know, prior authorization is going to be present in virtually every health plan that's available. And that's an authorization that's required for accessing certain services. It is really important for people with serious medical conditions to know what services require prior authorization and to seek those prior authorizations. And that's going to vary from plan to plan, and it's very detailed. So it is something that's going to require some extra diligence on the part of the client. But also, you know, you can enlist your physician or provider to be a partner with you in advocating for you to receive that prior authorization and for that coverage to hold. So and every insurance company also has an appeals process. And then the final source of appeal is the superintendent's office. So there are avenues to get coverage for those claims or to advocate for that at the very least.
And I'm glad you brought up that you can enlist and, you know, ask your doctor. I think many of us are sort of afraid to impose on our, you know, physicians. And many, maybe you'll agree, Dr. Hickey, sometimes they wish you would, you know, ask questions. Doctors do.
It's the only way to have a good interaction with the doctor is to just keep asking questions until you're completely clear on what's going on. There's one study that shows 50% of people leave an office visit and they really don't understand because, unfortunately, the pressures of today for physicians are seeing so many patients. Sometimes it's just too quick. That's why many of us want to get back to this primary care-based system where we have teams of people who can follow up and be sure you're getting not only all the information straight from the office visit, but also to be sure that your questions are answered.
Yeah. You know, the patient's paying for, in some form or another, that visit, and they're entitled to get the answers that they demand. John in Albuquerque has a question. Good morning, John. And that'll probably be the last call we get to take today. Thank you, John, for calling.
Good morning. I have no computer or any kind of tech abilities or skills, but I'm traumatically brain injured, and I have type 1 diabetes, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm wondering about, for one, which of the programs could I access via telephone that would offer alternative therapies like vitamin therapies, massage, acupuncture, things like that, that I found have been very helpful but are not available in the typical format, you know, like when you go to the hospital, they won't give you any of those things.
All right, let me take that question, save your other one, and you can always write to us at KUNM call-in show or call-in show at KUNM.org, and we'll get an answer for you. But Mr. Ezekiel?
Well, all of the plans do have call-in numbers. All of the companies do, in addition to the Health Insurance Exchange having a call center that is taking calls. And that's what I would encourage you to do, is to get on the phone and ask very specific questions of each of the health plans, because you're really going to need to look at comparing them. You can get documents describing all the plans in print if you're not, don't have computer access. And I would say that's the way to go. You're really going to need to do that comparison and seek help. We have a significant number, something like we're headed for about 400 healthcare guides in the state who will work with you to look at plans and compare them.
Okay. Well, any final comments? Do you feel like we covered this pretty well, folks?
I do. I just wanted to give the phone numbers for the federal and state call centers.
You know, we'll put those on our website.
Okay.
Okay, so they will be there. Rena Sabansky with the high-risk insurance pool. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you, Aaron Ezekiel, the man in charge, the director of the Affordable Care Act implementation in New Mexico, Dr. Martin Hickey, who is on the Health Exchange afford. And we encourage you to come to our website, look at all the links there. You can find out more, and you can find those telephone numbers and get informed about this massive change in our healthcare system. Starting January 1st, you will have till March to enroll. So don't fear that there's some kind of looming deadline, despite what you may be hearing. We appreciate all the callers that phoned in with their questions and comments today. I appreciate you, participating in this show. If we missed your calls, please go to our website for more information on this topic, KUNM.org. Thanks to our engineers, Roman Garcia and Jefferson White. Stephen Emmons screened your calls. The assistant producer is Andy Lyman, and our executive producer is Elaine Baumgartel. KUNM's poverty and public health coverage is funded by support from the Kellogg Foundation, the McCune Foundation, and the Conalma Foundation. Conalma Health Foundation, that is. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Deborah Martinez. Stay tuned next.
David Sedaris is one of America's most popular